Dus hartlik gegroet. Uit die hart, uit die tong, uit die kop, jou kant. Nie my tong, nie my kop, nie my hart, maar die genade van die Here Jesus Christus waarmee ons jou vanmôre verwelkom. Môre sê, good morning, Dumalang Kunjani. And I hope you had a better sleep than I had right throughout last night. It was one of those nights you couldn't sleep. But I want to take you to something very special this morning. Oh yes, I have the privilege to stand in for one of the best. And who is he? One of the best? He is Wynand Rousseau. And Wynand Rousseau is in Abu Dhabi with Helena, his wife, visiting their daughter. And I have the privilege to stand in for him. Not an easy task, I can tell you. He's a man of God. He's a man for whom I have the greatest admiration and respect. So, here we go. You know, the only way to be right with God, the only way to be right with God. Hey, what would you say? The only way to be right with God. Huh? What's the enigste manier om recht te wees? With God. With God. I wonder if to be right with God. Think about it. Paul is writing to these people in Rome. They are going through a lot of trouble and tribulations and trials. And the only thing and the only way to be right with God, says Paul, is, and he uses a big word in the Greek, hilasterion. But I'm not going to dwell into a Greek lesson this morning. In biblical context, a hilasterion refers to the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And it's also known as mercy seat. We can call it a mercy seat, where the high priest would sprinkle the blood of the sacrifice of the lamb on the Day of the Atonement. And it symbolizes a place of atonement and forgiveness where God would meet with the Israelites and their sins could be forgiven. A place of atonement. What does it mean? It refers to a location. It refers to an object, to a person associated with the act of making amends for sins and wrongs and wrongdoings. It symbolizes the process of reconciling with God or divine power after wrongdoing. You did something wrong, and now, hilasterion, now, the blood is there. It's a symbol. But here's a more detailed explanation. Hilasterion, in the Greek text, translates to propitiation. Mercy seat, atonement cover. It's a noun, and it refers to a place or an object that provides atonement for sin. And this term is used by Paul when he speaks to the people in Rome, those Italian Christians, and especially in Romans chapter 3, verse 25, describes Jesus Christ as the hilasterion, Jesus Christ is the hilasterion by his blood, meaning that Jesus Christ provides the means for God to forgive sin through faith. And this connects the concept of this very difficult word, hilasterion, with the Old Testament sacrificial system and the concept of atonement through Jesus. One must get your head around this. Hilasterion comes from the Old Testament, and it was used as a mercy seat, as an atonement cover over the ark, hilasterion. But in biblical context, Paul uses this in Romans 3:25 to describe Jesus Christ as the hilasterion. How? By his blood, meaning that he provides the means for God to forgive sin through faith. And this connects the concept of hilasterion with the Old Testament sacrificial system and the concept of the atonement through Jesus. There's a symbolism in this. The hilasterion on the ark, you remember the ark in the Old Testament? The hilasterion on the ark of the covenant represented a place where God was present and where forgiveness could be obtained through the sacrificial blood of the lamb that was slaughtered on the ark. It symbolized God's mercy and willingness to forgive sin. Now, what happens in Romans chapter 3 when Paul is telling the Italian Christians that Jesus is the atonement for sin? Jesus is the hilasterion. And Paul uses this term, hilasterion, in the Greek. And Romans 3:25 describes Jesus Christ's sacrifice as the means by which God can justly forgive sins while still upholding his justice. And this highlights the idea that Jesus' sacrifice is both an atonement of sin and a demonstration of God's righteousness. Let's read this portion of Scripture. The only way to be right with God. There's only one way to get right with God. Huh? And perhaps before I read this, what about you? Are you right with God? Are you right with God? Come on, answer. Let's read. Romans 3:19 to 26. We know that whether the law says, it says to those who are within the law, and the function of the law is that every mouth should be silenced, and that the whole world should be known to be liable to the judgment of God. Because no one will ever get into a right relationship with God by doing the works which the law lays down. What does come through the law is full awareness of sin. But now a way to a right relationship to God lies open before us, quite apart from the law. And it is a way attested by the law and the prophets. For a right relationship to God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned, and all of us have fallen short of the glory of God. But they are put into a right relationship with God freely by his grace through the deliverance which is brought by Christ Jesus. God put him forward as one who can win for us forgiveness of our sins through faith in his blood. He did so in order to demonstrate his righteousness, because in the forbearance of God there had been a passing over of the sins which happened in previous times, and he did so to demonstrate his righteousness in this present age, so that he himself should be just, and that he should accept as just the man who believes in Jesus. It's a difficult passage, this, huh? It's a difficult passage. You should read it word by word. Romans 3, 19 to 26. Aye. But here again is a passage which is not easy to understand, but which is full of riches when its true meaning is comprehended and grasped. To penetrate to the basic truth behind Romans 3:25. You know, the supreme problem of life is, how can a man get into a right relationship with God? That's the question people ask these days. How can I get into a right relationship with God? How can I feel at peace with God? How can I escape the feeling of estrangement and fear in the presence of God? Huh? Not by the labors of my hand. Not by fulfilling God's law. No. What then is the use of the law? It is that it makes a man aware of sin. That's the use of the law. It makes me aware of my sin. And it's only when a man knows the law and tries to satisfy it that he realizes he can never satisfy it. The law is designed to show a man his own weakness and his own sinfulness, but it cannot take him into the presence of God. And to show what he means, Paul uses three metaphors. The first one, he uses a metaphor from the law courts, which we call justification. This metaphor thinks of a man on trial before God, and the Greek word which is translated to justifies, diakion. All Greek verbs which ends in un mean not to make someone something, but to treat, to reckon, to account him as something. Yeah. Not to make him something, but to treat him as something. And that is what Jesus do. He does it. He comes and he does this for sinners. Secondly, Paul used a metaphor from sacrifice. He says of Jesus that God put him forward as one who can win forgiveness for our sins. That's the second metaphor. God has put Jesus forward. And the Greek word in this context that Paul uses to describe Jesus is hilasterion. And this comes from a verb which means to propitiate. It's a verb which has to do with sacrifice. Hilasterion is sacrifice. Under the old system, when a man broke the law, he brought to God a sacrifice, a lamb. And his aim was that the sacrifice should turn aside the punishment that should fall upon him. But it was human experience that an animal sacrifice failed entirely to do that. Thou hast no delight in sacrifice, says Psalm 51. Were I to give a burnt offering, thou would not be pleased. God isn't pleased with that. I have to give myself. And therefore, thirdly, Paul uses this metaphor from slavery. He speaks of the deliverance wrought through Christ Jesus. And the word in the Greek is apolutrosis. Forget about that. It means a ransoming, a redeeming, a liberating. It means that man was in the power of sin and that Jesus Christ alone could free him from the power of sin. Only Jesus. And this is the depth. This is the metaphor. You were a slave of sin. And Jesus Christ, Jesus' resurrection power over sin alone can free me from the bondage of sin. Plainly said this morning. And answer it in your mind. You don't have to write it down. You don't have to put it on social media or tell someone. But tell God. Have a little talk with Jesus right now. What are the sins in your life that makes you a slave? What is it in your life this morning, right now, that holds you in bondage? What holds you back not to be free in the grace of Christ? What makes you so desperate? What makes you that you lie? In Afrikaans, we have a very good word, jy lieg. Wat maak het van jou dat jy lieg? En jy lieg vir jouself. En jy lieg vir ander. En jy's 'n slaaf van jou eie leuns en jou eie geliegery. En jy's nie vry nie. Maar Sondag sit jy in die kerk. En Sondag sing jy halleluja. Sondag sing jy juig al wat leef, juig voor die Heer. Sondag sing jy my provider. Sondag huil jy snot en trane voor die Here. Maar jy lieg vir jouself. En jy's nie vry deur die genade van Jesus Christus die Here nie. En dis wat Paulus in Romeine 3 vir hierdie Italiaanse Christene kom sê. Alleen Jesus Christus maak jou vry. Hy vergewe jou nie net nie. Hy maak jou vry. And the only way to be right with God, says Romans 3 verse 19 to 26. The only way is through Christ Jesus, not to do something, not your works. Jy kan vir 1000 arme mense 10 McDonald's burgers en chips gaan koop vir elkeen. Jy kan Kentucky Fried Baskets gaan koop en vir almal op die strate gaan gee. Dit maak niks. Maar as jy jou hart, jou wilsbesluitsentrum, oopmaak met eerlikheid en vir die Here kom sê, hier is die ding wat my enkels vashou. Hier is die ding wat ek vir niemand wil sê. Die sonde wat my terughou en my 'n slaaf maak van sekere goed. Hilasterion, die Griekse woord. Romeine 3 vers 25. Deur die genade van die Here Jesus Christus alleen. En niks en niemand kan jou skei van die liefde van God, sê Paulus daar vir die mense in Rome. En dit gebeur net deur genade. Jy maak jou gesiggie so mooi op voor die spieël. Die hare hang een kant af. Jou wenkbroue is netjies gemaak. Jou lipstik pas by jou naels. Jou wangbene het daai, wat is daai goed wat die dames opsit wat lyk soos rose? Jou hare is geblou draai. Jou klere pas. Jy is net netjies gemaak, maar hier binne in jou hart is jy slaaf van jouself. En het jy nie die vryheid om net vir die Here te sê, hier is ek. Ja, jy ry hierdie 4x4. Ek praat gister met Johan van Tonner oor die nuwe Toyota Fortuner. Kos by 1 miljoen rand. Jy ry daai grand car. Het doen nogal iets aan jou, nee? Jy daarom nou in die verkeer met die grand car ry. Maar ou maat gaan stop daar by Pick n Pay se parkeerarea en laat 'n ou antie met haar klein karretjie die deur oopmaak, kwar, teen jou nuwe miljoen rand se kar. Wat dan? Wat gebeur dan as daar 'n duik in jou miljoen rand se Fortuner se deur sit, want die ou antie het haar deur te vinnig oopgemaak, en hier in die Kaap as die Suidoos waai, kwar, jy kan daar niks doen. Wat maak van jou jy? Paulus kom sê vir hierdie Christene in Rome, wat deur dik dieptes gaan. Julle moet een ding weet. Een ding is net genade. Hilasterion. Romeine 3 vers 25. Is 'n harde woord. Niks anders kan jou vry maak. Net die genade van die Here Jesus Christus. Sal ek en jy nie net vanmôre sê, Here, is ek met al die kettings om my voete, met al die make-up op my gesig om weg te steek hoe ek eintlik huil, om die sakke om my oë 'n bietjie te verbloem. Jy weet, in Afrikaans is daar 'n spreekwoord wat sê jakkals verander van haar, maar nie van streek nie. En het jy nou so jakkalas voel vanmôre? Och, jy daar mooi aangetrek. Die hare is gedoen. Die wenkbroue staan in 'n V-formasie na bo. Die vals ooghare, jy lyk soos Marilyn Monroe. Die lipstik in die, wat is die goed, die botox in die lippe, maak jou so sag om die mondjie. En jy die mooiste tabbert aan. Dis nou wel 'n Pick n Pay clothing tabbert, maar jy het hom so 'n bietjie opgezoek met 'n knoop hier en 'n stukkie strik daar. Niemand sal weet. Maar jy voel soos Kate Middleton, Prins William se vrou vanmôre. Jou skoene, het jy sommer met 'n swart koukie pen gou hier om die hakke net weer swart gemaak waar hulle 'n bietjie afgeloop is. Maar binne in jou hart is jy die ongelukkigste, vasgeloopste. Is dit die tyd dat jy induik in die see van genade, vrykom? die wonderlijke woord van God kom hoor. Die hilasterion in die Grieks van Romeine 3 vers 25. The only way to be right with God by his atonement in his grace. And dive into the ocean of the grace of Jesus. To be free, to honor and glorify the Lord God Almighty, plainly as disciple of Jesus, by his grace alone.